Lynn is at the piano again. We're excited about that. She picked out us a couple of hymns here today. And the first one of them is the Lily of the Valley. If you can find you guys outside, find that insert. I guess they're going to put you some words up here. Look, there ain't nothing up here on the inside. But I just looked to make sure. I looked at the 100th Psalm, and it says that we ought to praise the Lord. You remember, it's He that hath made us, not we ourselves. I love that. That's a very special. But I think 103 is my favorite psalm. I need to quit rambling on, huh? But anyhow, if you'd like to stand, we'll invite you in here to stand as we sing all three of these verses. The Lily of the Valley.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in Him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow He's my comfort, in trouble He's my safe. He tells me every care on Him to roll. Hallelujah, He's a lily.
Welcome you this morning. We're glad that you're here. Even with how we doing things outside this morning with our baptism coming up here and toward the end of the service, and we kind of projected folks to be outside. Then we changed our mind and folks wanted to be inside. So we got a good number inside, and I sure hope we got a big old crowd outside. And I hear horns, and we got some in the back, I do believe. And so we are glad that anybody in the back.
Yes.
Oh, I heard something. Yeah, I heard something. Well, good to see you all this morning. If you're our guest, inside or outside, I see all pretty much familiar faces in here. And but if you're our guest outside. With us this morning, we are glad to have you in the back. We're really glad to have you with us. And what a wonderful, wonderful day. Me and Patrick were talking before church, a historical day. How many of you, be real honest, how many in here, now you'll have to answer outside in the back to yourself, but I'm sure the percentage in here will equal the percentage outside too. But how many of you have ever seen anybody baptized in a cattle trough or a horse trough? 1, 2, 3. Be real honest in here, folks. Oh, not. What about in person? In person. Let's break her down again. In person. Still about 3 of you? Okay. All right. We got about 3 people out of about 40 in here. 35, 40. So that would give you a percentage. I don't know how many of you outside raised your hand. We can't see it, but actually saw that. And someone asked me, said, do you know how to do that? And I said, sure, I know how to do that, because in Kentucky we had a jail ministry, and the church authorized me, because you're always authorized by the church. We believe that as pastor and as ordained minister, I'm authorized by you to baptize in the name of Jesus. And so they authorized me to go. As we went to the jail, we preached in the jail. People would get saved, and we baptized them right there on the spot. And we had just like the one right out there this morning. I think it's the same one, same type. We baptized in that, I call them horse troughs, but I guess you use cattle or whatever you want to feed in them. But does that hit? Yeah. So cow trough? No, we ain't calling them cow troughs. But yes, I've done many of those. Maybe 50, I don't know, 75, I don't know, over those years. A lot of those. And so it's historical this morning. You're going to get to see that. You'll get to see that. Of course, James back there, being from Texas, I almost knew he'd raise his hand. That's how they baptized him out there. You know, take them old cowboys. Oh, you got saved. Hallelujah. And take you down and throw you in the horse trough and pull you out. You're ready to go. Well, the Bible says, and we know the story in the Bible, where they just looked over there and you know, the story of the eunuch, Philip and the eunuch, and they went down there, you know, and the eunuch got saved, and Philip's talking about, you know, you're baptized in the Spirit, but you need to be baptized of water. And he looked over there and he said, well, right over there's a water hole, right over there's water. And Philip just took him right over there, and what did he do? He baptized him right there. I didn't hear the Lord scold him. I didn't see anything in the Bible where he was reprimanded. I didn't see anything in the Bible where Philip lost his preaching license. So that must have been okay. That must have been fine. So we'll get to see a unique situation here in just a little bit. And we'll have a little intercession time when we dismiss in here and give you all time to move back outside. If your car is positioned right, you can go back and sit in your car. If not, just if you'd like to stand. It's going to be hot. It is already hot and going to get hotter. But you can stand just on down on the bottom or there, just kind of back out where everybody can see back in the cars as well. But you can do either way that you feel led to, but just make sure you see it. And we'll do that toward the end of our service here. We'll move you back outdoors, and we'll have our baptismal service and things. This morning this is all I know right now, but we're going to let the Spirit of the Lord lead us. And there may be more, and I want to encourage you, like that glorious day RJ, he came out of the audience, and you remember that? He came up, and he got gloriously saved, and he started pulling his boots off and getting his outer cloak off. And I thought, what is going on? This guy's stripping down right here. And he said, I'm ready. And we took him right up there. Remember that? We took him right up there and baptized him. And what a glorious day. That may be today. And if it is, you do it. You follow the Lord. You come out of that audience. You get out of that car. You climb out of that tree. And you get up there, clothes and all. And in the mighty, powerful, wonderful name of Jesus, you know, you be gloriously saved and followed through in baptism and stuff. But I'll go ahead and present to you this morning and things. Beth had come forward earlier and to fulfill her. And then her granddaughter, Brianna, she's staying with her grandmother now. And her grandmother had an opportunity to lead her to the Lord. And Brianna is going to follow through in baptism this morning. And Gary Fuller, our good neighbor up the street, Brother Gary, we've been praying for him. And he's been going through some cancer treatments and stuff. And even in his weakness this morning, in a difficult week that he's had and stuff, he feels led. And, And if he's still able this morning, he wants to follow through in baptism and be a part of the church and maybe others. So how many amens would we have to those this morning? You feel good. Anybody outside got a horn? Okay, all right. Any of you folks in the back?
Amen.
Didn't hear nothing in the back, but that's
amen.
All right. They're back there. But remember these, and we could get outside and even have more. The Spirit leads and stuff. You all remember that revival service, many of you, that Brother Tommy Green, our executive director, came that night of revival and preached on baptism. And we had three or four get up out of the audience and come forward and was baptized that night. What a great thing today as we talk about baptism and what it is. But we look forward to this. We're glad you're here. Let's have prayer together. Pray for the Sullivan family. Jake Sullivan, pray for that family, if you would. Father, we thank you today for your many wonderful blessings. We thank you for Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, the one and only, the way, the truth, the life. Lord, there's just so many, Father, descriptions of Jesus. It's hard for us to even fathom how much that you mean to us and what you are to us as Christians, as followers. We want to be followers. We want to continue to be strong followers of Jesus Christ. And we'll see in these scriptures today, we need to be up on the housetop, the rooftops, proclaiming Jesus everywhere. Never be ashamed of the greatest name ever uttered. The Bible says the greatest name in heaven and earth is the name Jesus. Never be ashamed of that name. Never be ashamed to utter that name. Never be in a place in our life, nowhere, never go anywhere in our lives that we would be ashamed to raise our voice and cry out the wonderful name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you'd remove all fear from us today. Remove, Father, any spirit that is not of you, that, Father, we would obey thy spirit today. And Father, we would not grieve the Spirit of God, but we would hear you calling in our lives and telling us and moving in our lives to do what you would have us to do. And Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for these that have come today. And we pray a special blessing upon each home and each heart and each life. And Father, we pray for our nation for such a time as this, the election coming up and this COVID-19 and the unrest in our country. And Father, we know there's a name above all names that's the answer to all of this, and that's Jesus. And we want to proclaim you, and Father, we want to see a great revival again in our land, and we want to be a part of it. Let it begin in us. Maybe it even begins today in us right here. And Father, we just thank you today for these many blessings, these that are coming forward, Father, that are going beyond their fears and are coming forward. Just bless them, give them peace, and just calm their spirits even right now. And Father, for others that it's working in their hearts to make a decision. They trusted Jesus, or maybe they're going to trust him today as their Lord and Savior, but just to keep trusting and following and doing as you'd have us to do. Thank you for our tithes and offerings today. Use them to bless and build your kingdom. Bless this time together, those who bring us special music, the message of the hour, in Christ's name. Amen.
We invite you to look on the other side of that sheet now. In the garden, Miss Ann picked this song out for us. Isn't it good to, Greg wants us to stand there. He done jumped up. So here, we invite you to do that if you want to.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the and
Thank you guys for lifting up your voice to the Lord. And Miss Velma is going to come and share some special music with us now. I liked her. I heard her a little bit earlier. It's a beautiful song. I love the words to this song. So thank you, Miss Velma.
You know, with Jesus in our hearts, we can do anything. We can conquer anything. I had went through another tape, but for some reason, I feel like it was just the Lord wanted me to do this song, More Than Conquerors.
Thank you, Ms. Spellman. Again, she did not know what I was preaching on today. We did talk this week, but she had already thought about that song. We're going to talk about conquering today, conquering fear. And you'll see it here in the scripture, Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17. And then Matthew chapter 10, 24. And I'm going to go on down through verse 28 because I want you to see the rest of that there. Proclaiming Jesus. How do we proclaim Jesus? How do we get beyond our fears? And the reason people do not proclaim Jesus, there's one great reason for that. The reason that you don't do it as often as you should, and sometimes you don't do it in special places or places that you feel, oh, should I speak up, is because of fear. Fear. You're afraid. You're afraid, and we should not be afraid to proclaim Jesus Christ. It takes somebody bold to do that. The disciples were bold. The disciples risked their very lives. They risked their careers. You're going to risk your life. You're going to, in these times we live in, you're going to risk your life. You're going to risk your job because you're going to go to your job and you're going to proclaim Jesus Christ. And the supervisor's going to come to you and he's going to say, be quiet. You can't do that. We don't mention God around here. We just had one of our political conventions and they never one time mentioned God. Not one time did they mention God. See, people don't want to mention God or they're afraid to mention God and they're going to fire you. They're going to kick you out. You're going to lose your job because you stood up and you could not be quiet and you mention Jesus Christ and they're going to come for you and they're going to persecute you. And we're seeing that today, that people just do not like Christians. They have no love for us at all. Matter of fact, we didn't think this day would come in our lifetime, but it has come in our lifetime. I thought I would be, Paul, I figured I'd be long gone and dead. You know, before America, I preached it for years, but I preached it as way out there in the future. I preached persecution way out there in the future, that sometime there would come a day that Christians could not raise their voice, they could not go to church, they could not meet in America, and if you mention God, and I'm talking about just mentioning God. You know, in God we trust. That'll be removed from our money. We won't even have money before too long, but it'll be removed from anything like that. And even in our pledge of allegiance, one nation, you know, it's not there. They're going to take that out. It's not one nation under God. It just goes straight to indivisible or whatever the rest of it is. And that's the way it's happening. And that's the way it's going to be. But we have to be strong in proclaiming Christ, and it's going to cost us some friends. RJ, they're going to walk off. You're going to have 8 or 10 of them that are just going to walk off. You're going to have a good percentage of them just walk right away from you. They won't listen to you. They won't be your friend no more. They won't go to no parties no more. They won't do anything with you no more because, oh, they're afraid that you're going to be preaching or saying something or giving a witness about Jesus Christ. Why do we need this preacher? We need this now. And we need to proclaim. The first point in a Christian's life, a newborn believer's life, the first opportunity that you have, that once you are saved, is to proclaim Jesus through baptism. That's the first opportunity you have to do something publicly, unafraid, unashamed, that you just jump in, clothes and all, or you just go wherever you got to go. I remember when I was baptized, I remember that we had to go out on a Sunday evening, a hot July day. We had to drive way out into the country, and we had to go and run the swimmers off and run the snakes off. And make sure there wasn't any glass bottles on the bottom of that. Oh, couldn't you have found a better place? No, the preacher didn't. But that's where I was baptized. Run the swimmers off, run the snakes off. Got down in that old creek and was baptized. My mother, she was baptized in February back in probably about 1930-something. And, 1928 or 29. She was a young girl, and they had to go out in February and break the ice on the pond for her to be baptized. But guess what? She was going to be baptized, and they baptized a bunch that day. Why? There's no fear. There's no fear. Church at the Glades down in Miami area. When they baptize, a big church there, they'll baptize 20, 30, 40, sometimes at a time. They print a T-shirt for every baptismal candidate that gets in the water. They get a T-shirt that says, "I'm fearless. I'm fearless. I am not afraid." But you would be amazed of how many people that are afraid of baptism, afraid of a little water, afraid to step forward. And here it is, listen to Scripture. And then come in chapter 3, you didn't know I was going to preach, did you? In chapter 3, 13 through 17, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, to be baptized of him." Do you know how important those words are? The Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, made the trip down to the Jordan River, and he came to John. John didn't come to him. He came to John to be baptized of him. But John was just like any of us preachers. Here comes Jesus, and John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou, why do you come to me?" He questioned there. And Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so." Read that next word. "Suffer it to be so," when? Now. Now. In just a few moments, just a little bit, we're going to say the words of Jesus. "Suffer it so to be now." Not next week. Not to a better day. Not because we might hear the roll of thunder in the background. Listen, if lightning strikes us, wouldn't it be a good place to get lightning struck? I mean, just think about this. No fear whatsoever. "For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Straightway out of the water, it means he had been down in the water, I assume. I'm not that smart, but just seems like to me he's been down in the water if he came straight up out of the water. "And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am what? I am well pleased." I don't know about you, but the first thing that I really need in my life, once I've been forgiven of my sins, once I've been saved, I need the Lord Jesus to say, "I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased with this young man, this young woman. I'm well pleased with this individual because they have been obedient unto me. They have suffered to be baptized today." The first thing, Jesus did this. If baptism is not important, I mean, our name comes from it. Baptist. We're Baptist. Our name, our denomination comes from that. That we are Baptists. We are baptizers. We get that name. I don't know if we pull the name from John, because he was called John the what? John the Methodist. Yeah, of course, that was what he was called, John the Methodist. I remember the Bible saying that. No, it's John the Baptist that he was called. Not because he was a Southern Baptist, Dave, or not because he was a Northern Baptist, or an American Baptist, or a hardshell Baptist, or an old primitive Baptist, or an independent Baptist. No, it was because he was known to be a baptizer, that he would baptize individuals. And this was before Jesus. John was out there baptizing, and Jesus came to him. John did not go to Jesus. Jesus came to him. He was baptizing. He saw what he was doing, and he put his seal of approval on it. Guess what? In just a little bit, Jesus is going to put his seal of approval on some folks today. He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have done well today. You have accomplished, you have went beyond your fears. Turn with me to chapter 10. I want to show you the fear factor here quickly. The fear factor, we have a lot of fears, but seems like being baptized is a fear for a lot of people. And stuff. They can't do it. They don't want to do it. They're afraid to do it. I don't know what it is, but there's something that is there. Start down in verse 24, verse 10, Matthew chapter 10. And look, these are the words of Jesus. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he is to be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house, the Beelzebub, how he says here, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that I speak to you in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now think about this. We have Jesus, He didn't have to conquer, I don't think, much of his fear, because I don't think he was afraid to go forth. I don't think he was afraid to go forth and show of the Father the baptism, the death, the burial, the resurrection. This is what that means to us as we go, that we're going to be buried. We're going to go down in that water. It's going to come up over our face, and we're buried, and then we're going to be resurrected. We're going to be brought back up into a brand new life, representing that death, that burial, that resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that is our greatest testimony. No fear. One is baptism of the Spirit first. You have to be baptized of the Spirit. You have to be saved. We don't want to baptize unsaved people. In my 40 years as pastor, I am sure, and probably 400 maybe baptisms, I don't know. I should have kept a count. I used to write every one in my Bible, and no telling where those Bibles are went. They're in shreds, and they're torn to pieces. They're probably somewhere. But I used to write down every name of every person that I even got really particular, and I wrote down the name of every person I led to the Lord for years. Can you imagine? I did that for about 10 years probably, writing down every name of every person that I knew that I led to the Lord. And then I would write down out beside that name, they were saved. I would write down their name, they were saved, and the date. And then I would wait, and I'd write down right out past that name and that date when they were baptized and date. It just happened when I did RJs, I wrote the same date. It was the same date, you know, very same time. But I did that for years, and then I got lazy, and I quit doing that. And I know we got records. I pastored three churches. They've got records of my tenure there. And they got records, hopefully they've kept, of everybody that's been baptized. The clerks have done a good job, and they know everybody that's been baptized through the church. And now I've got all those baptized through the jail ministry, but we ran them back through the church. We would come every Sunday and say, this week the Lord added to his kingdom this name, this name, this name, this name, this name. You pray for them. And they were baptized, and their names were put on the roll at Maeslick Baptist Church. Man, you can say, you all gained some membership quick, didn't you, preacher? Yeah, we did. We had about 700-800 members of the church there, and they were out everywhere across the land, because these guys would get out of jail and we would follow up with them, and they'd go to a different city and a different place and hope. Not all of them, you know that. You know that. All of you got enough mind to know that everybody that professes or say they are maybe ain't. And you don't know if everybody that's ever been baptized, if they're really a true believer. We don't know that. And we don't know if they really followed up in a church or if they really are in there serving the Lord today. But I want to promise you this. I guarantee you, John Skeen, that some of them are. I guarantee you that there's some of them that are. And we got letters back from them saying, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Maze Lake Baptist Church. Thank you for being there, preaching the gospel in jail. And thank you for my baptism. And thank you that I'm in a church now in West Virginia or in Pennsylvania. I'm in a church now and I'm serving the Lord. One man wrote us back about 6-8 years later and said, the Lord called me to ministry. And I'm preaching. I'm preaching in a little church in West Virginia. Isn't that awesome? Oh, not all of them are, but some of them is. And that's what it means to the Lord. We're not the ones who can always separate out the fruit. And we're not the ones who can always separate out and say, oh, definitely. Oh, I wish I prayed to the good Lord. I wish it was true that all those 300 or 400 or whatever the number is over the years that I have baptized, that I have led to the Lord, that I could say are genuinely saved. And for those that are died, I could say they genuinely died and went to heaven. I don't know that. But I've just got to be faithful in preaching the word. I've just got to be faithful in giving the witness. And listen to what he said here. Three times here Jesus says in these verses, fear not, do not be afraid. And he says, go out there on your housetops, your rooftops, and proclaim the gospel. Do you remember a few years ago the coffee commercial for Folgers Coffee? You remember that? The lady running outside and getting up on her roof and shouting to all of her neighbors that the best part of waking up is a little Folgers in your cup. Well, I couldn't stand that commercial. And I thought, yeah, boy, that sounds like the world. People would go out there and be that excited. They'd get on their rooftop because of the coffee they're drinking. I really believe that. But that's not the reason I didn't like the commercial. The reason I didn't like that, I don't really like to have Folgers in my house because my family back a few generations, they started the Maxwell House Company in Nashville, Tennessee. You can go there. You can tour it today just out of night. It's called Cheekwood. It's real. Look it up. You're going to go home and look that up, aren't you? You're going to Google that this afternoon. Google Cheekwood. Cheekwood out of Nashville, Tennessee. Maxwell House Coffee. Maxwell House Coffee is good to the last drop. And that would be worth, Chris, getting on your rooftop and saying, I drink this stuff. But listen, the Bible says here that if you have this Christ within you, this gospel, this spirit, and it's strong in your life, you will get up on the rooftops and you will declare it to the world. Declare that Jesus is Lord. And so, you know, we believe that the housetops were places where many public announcements were made in biblical days. Invitations to a wedding. Announcement of a new birth in the family. Josephus even writes that it was from a rooftop that he argued and put down a rebellion, a whole rebellion, that he argued that from a rooftop. Wherever God has placed you on your housetop, that's where you got to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever that is. And folks, he has placed us throughout this world, hasn't he? There's places that you go that I can't go. There's people that you see that I'll never see. There's opportunities that you have that I'll never have, and vice versa. So we have to proclaim Jesus where we are. And we have to do it every day. And one of the first opportunities that you have to proclaim Christ is in baptism. So I don't want anybody to ever say to me, baptism, that's not important. Baptism is a byproduct, preacher. It's a byproduct. It's more than a byproduct. Yes, you've got to be saved first. You know our doctrine. You know that we believe that salvation comes first, because you can't just take a lost man and baptize him. You take a lost man, he'll go in a dry sinner and he'll come out a wet sinner. There's nothing changed in his life. Wouldn't it be miraculous if water could change people? Oh, it does make you smell a little better. And it does change your appearance sometimes, a little water does. You get in the bathtub. But I'm going to tell you, water has never saved a single person. Man, I wish it would. I pray that that would be that. Lord, why didn't you make it that easy? And then we could just get everybody. I bet you we could probably talk them into it, or we could hose them down. I'd get a big water hose. And you're going to get dunked and you're going to get drenched one way or the other, whether you like it or not, because it's going to save you. But it doesn't. You got to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There has to be a time in your life when that Holy Spirit knocked on your heart's door and you opened that door and you let Him come in and you accepted Him as your Savior. You begged Him. You pleaded with Him. You said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I am a sinner. And I need to be saved today. I need to be saved right now, not next week. I'm not going to work for it. I'm not going to earn it. I'm not going to wait till some unction of the Spirit falls on me next 3 months. I'm wanting the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, to fall on me today. And today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. It's not next week. It's not next month. It's today. And so when we call, what does the Bible say, Shorty? If we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. If we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. It's not we might be saved, I hope to be saved, I think I might be saved, but we will. Well, you know, we're in life and we try to do the truth. And Jesus is the truth. Let me close. The truth is His written word, which governs our lives. The Bible, His written word. The truth and those who build their lives on Him are the only ones who will last to the end. The truth will make it to the end. That's the hope I have, folks. That's the hope I have right now in things going on in our country. The hope I have right now, I'm praying. Here's what I'm praying. Lord, let the truth be told. Let the truth be told. I pray every day the truth would come out. I pray the truth would come out on every preacher, on every politician, on every legislator. I pray, and on you, but I pray that the truth would come out. Because you shall know the truth, and what happens when you know the truth? It sets you free. So here's what I'm praying. With election coming up, the fate of America is hanging in the balance right now. And what I'm praying for is, God, if you would please, would you just take this whole mess and just put your Spirit right in the middle of this and rip it all apart. And let the truth come out. The truth would just come out. And we would see the truth, the actual truth. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be something to turn on the news and actually hear the truth? Well, I would have to take my gun and shoot my TV. Because I would think, oh, wait a minute, something happened. Something happened. I'm going to go get the other TV. I'm going to turn to another channel. Because I think the truth just came out. The truth will set us free. Here's something else about the truth. The truth is to be known by you, all of us, and it'll set you free. The truth liberates you. The truth. Think for just a second in this invitation. Think about this. How good did you feel as a child, as a teenager, maybe as a young adult, but how much relief did you have when you had told a lie And you have. You have. You had told a lie. You had done something behind your parents' back. It's amazing that some mothers have eyes in the back of their heads. You ever wonder why mothers have eyes in the back of their heads? Because they're looking at us, because of the children, the mean kids. This is the reason the Lord gives eyes in the back of the head to mother. Call the mean kids. But you ever think, okay, they didn't catch me. And you were beginning to feel good. They didn't catch me. And a few days go by, and another few days go by, and you're laying there in your bed, and you start feeling guilty because you had done something. You had stolen, or you had lied to your mama. You'd lied to your dad. You'd told him you had went one place, but you didn't go there. You went somewhere else. Something got broke, and you're the one who broke it, but you told dad or you told grandpa. I don't know what happened. The dog did it, I guess. I don't know what happened to that. I don't know. And you lied. But how wonderful did it feel after you confessed? And you got that weight off of you. Now, it hurt for a little bit because I got a lashing. I got a whipping. Even if I told the truth, even if I confessed, but it wasn't as hard. My mother said, my dad said, it's not going to be as severe. But if you continue to lie to me, it's going to be worse. And that's the way it works with God. If we continue to hide and we continue to lie, and we continue to walk in. Remember he said the dark things what shall be what? Brought to light. They shall be revealed. The things that you say in silence or in the back rooms, it's going to be heard. It's going to be broadcast. It's going to be brought out. I've discovered late in my ministry that you can't please everyone. And I have to remind my staff of that from time to time. Some are just professional critics who are not doing anything themselves for the kingdom of God. And I would rather them talk about how I am doing it wrong than to be doing nothing at all. That's what Dwight L. Moody said once. He was told by a critical church member, I don't like the way you're doing evangelism, Mr. Moody. Dr. Moody said to the critic, and sir, I don't much like the way you're not doing it. You may not like the way I'm doing it, but it's much better than the way it's not being done and not being accomplished. Our fear or reverence for God will show itself by how we react to opportunities to share the gospel, even when we are sure that it will result in rejection and hostility. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I belong to Jesus. If God knows the number of hairs on my head, and that's a little easier for Him, for me, and He doesn't miss a one, then I know that He can keep up with me. It may be hard for Him sometimes, but He can keep up with me. And baptism shows the world that you have decided to follow Jesus. Baptism shows the world, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Oh, look at the crowd out there. Oh, no. Look at all them people looking at me. Oh, no. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. You're probably afraid to walk the aisle this morning. You're afraid because what will somebody think? Well, I thought they were a Christian for 20 years. And they're walking the aisle this morning. My wife was an example of that. My wife thought she was saved when she was a young girl. Probably younger than Brietta there. But she went forward because her cousins and two or three other youth went forward. Boy, it was a Sunday preacher thought, man, that's a hallelujah day. Here comes them youth. They're all walking down the aisle to get saved. But she just went because her older cousin went. And she didn't want to be left out, so I'll just go because they're going. And she went, and she told him she came to be saved. He prayed with her like we preachers do. And we pray with you and acknowledge that. We don't doubt you. We don't say, oh, no, you didn't either. But we acknowledge that with you and pray with you. And then she followed through in baptism. She was baptized. And then later on in life, after we were dating, and later on in life, after we were looking to get married, later on in life, that the Lord had called her husband to be a preacher, that she realized she hadn't been saved at all. That she realized baptism didn't mean, I would say a bad word here, but I won't say it. It's when you bend down and sit down real low. But it didn't mean anything to her. And she realized that one day. And the Holy Spirit pressed upon the truth, upon her heart. And she came down the aisle. And I thought, what in the world is going on here? How can I be called to be a preacher? And my fiancé has been living a lie. How can that be? Not even saved. Oh, what kind of witness have I been? But she is gloriously saved that day. And she was rebaptized because the first one didn't mean, I ain't going to say the word. You're all going to figure that word out. Boy, it's going to bother you all day. But it didn't mean anything to her. Didn't mean a thing to her. But this one did. See, that could be you, but it takes a lot of courage to do that. It takes a lot of courage when your daddy, your mother's a women's Sunday school teacher, and your grandpa is chairman of the deacons, and your fiancé is called into ministry, and your daddy is Sunday school director and soon to be deacon. Oh, wow. What kind of courage would that take to get rid of those fears Jesus is talking about? Maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe that's what you need to do out there in the car today. I'm coming outside in just a minute. And all those that are going to be baptized today, I want you to come right up front. I want you to get up front. I want you to get on that. We'll help you up there. I want you to get up on that stage outside. I want you to come up there. And maybe you're not even one I mentioned this morning, the three. But I want you to come too if the Lord's pressing on your heart to be saved today. I'll pray with you right there. I'll pray with Shorty to be there. Others will be there. John will be there. There'll be several of us up there. If there's too many comes at one time, all of us will pray with you. We'll pray with you. But it's important to get rid of those fears. I would rather know the truth and be set free. You can hide, but you can't hide it from God. One day it'll all be revealed. And so today is a great day that you just come. You just walk right up there. Walk right up there in your street clothes. It's okay. We're going to let you go home right after. We're not doing anything else after but sending you home. We send you home wet. We'll send you home. But follow the Lord. Father, we thank you for today. And thank you, Father, for the great sacrament that you proclaim, just like you did the Lord's Supper, that, Lord, you proclaim baptism. You were the one who made the example of it. You were the one who went to John. You were the one who was baptized of him. You were the one who God, the Holy Father, looked down and sent a dove so it would be revealed to those standing on the shore that you were following your Father's will. And that voice came out of heaven. That voice came out of heaven that said, well done. Oh, Father, we pray that today for all of us. I want to hear that one day. and I want to be pleasing. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. We all want to hear that today. This is my child. I'm well pleased. And we don't want to leave here today not being pleasing to you. And we want to do, Father, what you have called us to do. Let your Holy Spirit move strongly in our lives. Strongly in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to have, if you'd stand with me in here, we'll have just a moment. Maybe just about a verse of that, Aaron, not all the way through of the song this morning that we're going to have for our meditation. You got something up there? Yes, okay. And if you feel that call, then you come this morning. And then we're going to transition to outside. And Brother John's going to be singing for us as we make our way outside. And if the Lord's speaking to you out there, I want you to start in just a moment, start making your way to the front out there. I know it's hot, but listen. I know there's things that causes us to want to say, this is not a good day. But folks, it's always a good day to follow the Spirit. It's always the right day to do that. So you make that decision and you come. Go ahead, Aaron. Decision right there in their seats and in their cars. And Father, just that we bring ourselves to you. We pray thy blessings upon this baptismal service today. We thank you for these, Father, who have followed you, who have trusted you as their Lord and Savior. And they come today to follow you in believers' baptism. And I pray, Father, that they will feel thy Spirit upon them, They'll feel that refreshment of the Spirit. They'll feel that great relief that you, the Father, says, "This is my child, and I'm well pleased." Thank you, Father, for this service today. Bless us as now we come to this baptismal service. In Jesus' name, amen.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my time on earth is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy King.
We'll currently pause here for a minute as we transition to the outside baptismal.
Amongst the local women, well, there'll be a slack in cheating, 'cause Jesse won't be stepping out again. Well, they baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus gained a soul and Satan lost the good right arm. We all said hallelujah when Jesse's head went under. This time he went under for the Lord.